had a good hearty morning. Good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us. I got to tell you though, my day didn't start out very good today. My clock went off at 5 a.m. and I got up and started through my routine as far as taking the dog out and while the dog's out in the yard, I make my first cup of coffee, and my coffee maker wouldn't work. Okay, I didn't have my first cup of coffee until I got here this morning. So I'm just feeling a little calm, more calm than normal. Yeah, poor thing. That's right. When I couldn't get it working, I thought it might be the outlet, and so I moved it and it still didn't work. And I moved it to a third outlet and it didn't work, and a fourth outlet, and I finally got the point, and I turned around and my little dog was sitting on the floor and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Let us pray." He knew that's not the way I want to start my day. So I will be going to Sam's Club to buy a new coffee maker by the end of the day if I can't get this thing working. So if you pray about such things, I would appreciate that. Pray for Arlie. Yeah. I have really been enjoying these few weeks. We've been looking at the Psalms, and it's interesting. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be having a Youth Sunday, and Alex said to me, he said, "John, we're going to continue that Summer in the Psalm theme for Youth Sunday as well." So I thought that was kind of cool, and so we were kind of sharing notes about what he was going to be looking at on that Sunday with the teenagers, and it wasn't one that I had picked out so far, so we're all good. But today we're in Psalm 32, and what a marvelous passage of Scripture this is. Because, when I come to a Bible passage, especially ones like this, I just look at them in a certain way, and boy, this one just jumped out at me as a beautiful sermon in and of itself. And I really feel like that if you read this Psalm 32 very, very reflectively and very, very deeply and openly, and as you read this, I think the message of what David is trying to get at here just comes through so very, very clearly. Matter of fact, to me, I just envision these crossroads. Where you come to a place in your life and you got to choose which way you're going to go. Which sign you're going to follow. And when you come to this, I think that right off the bat, and it even uses this word a couple of times in the text itself, that we have to choose to acknowledge. That we have to choose to acknowledge God, to acknowledge Jesus Christ in a way that is real and meaningful. Matter of fact, here, let me start this sermon off not in the most spiritual way that I've ever done, but I think that it'll pique your interest if you know this. We got any WWE fans here? Come on, I'm not the only one. There's one brother that's truthful. I can't even see who that is. Who is it? Who is it? I can't see with the lights in my eyes. Anyway, thank you, brother, for that. I was raised on this, okay? And honestly, a lot of times on Monday night or a lot of times at 5 a.m. on Monday morning, I'm checking out to see what happened on Monday Night Raw. And if you've been into this lately, and I won't spend but a moment on this because most of you weren't truthful and said that you liked it. There's a guy right now that's really big. His name is Roman Reigns. Believe it or not, his real name is Joe. But anyway, Roman Reigns is the guy right now. He's the champion that everybody's getting at, and he has this phrase that's becoming really, really popular right now. When he beats somebody, he says for them and for all the world to hear, "Acknowledge me." Meaning that he's the head of the table, the big dog in the yard. These are all phrases that he's used to describe himself. But he wants people to acknowledge who he is. You know what, folks? Every day in life, we come to this point where we can recognize who God is, where we can appreciate who God is, where we can respect what he's done for us, when we can acknowledge who he is for us in our lives. Listen, folks, I hope and pray that we are doing that every day. Every day when you get up in the morning, you have the opportunity to acknowledge God. God, you are the creator of the universe. You are the giver of life. God, in reality, discipleship is all about acknowledging who he is and who he wants to be for you and for me in our lives. Matter of fact, here, let's just jump right in. Let me read a couple of verses to you here from Psalm 32. He says in verse number 1, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." You see, here what David is going to do, he's going to describe to you this life where he understands how important it is to acknowledge God. And then he's going to go and tell you in the next two verses, look at verse 3 and 4, what it was like before this. He said, "When I kept silent," in other words, when I did not acknowledge God, "my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped, and in the heat, as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged." Folks, it is a beautiful existence when we come to understand how important this is in the life of a true believer. Matter of fact, if you notice Psalm 32, it says at the beginning that it was a maskil. If you look that term up, what you find is that they're not sure exactly what it means. That it's a Hebrew term of undetermined origin. But by the context where it's used here and in 13 places in the psalm, in other words, there's 13 psalms where it uses the term that this is a maskil of David. And what they've determined by the by this word being used in these particular psalms, that these are all psalms of contemplation. All psalms of contemplation, where you stop and you think about and you contemplate God, his existence, and also his forgiveness and his love and his grace and his mercy and even his justice. Someone once said that God does not send us to hell because we are born with sin, but he sends us to that awful place when we die with unforgiven sin. See, God understands who we are and where we are and the times in which we live. God understands and realizes how tough this is. But I think it makes it all the more important that we contemplate, that we acknowledge who God is. You remember the great sin of Peter in the New Testament? When people said, "Hey, wait, weren't you one of the fellows with this one Jesus?" And Peter did not acknowledge him. Matter of fact, he said, "I didn't know him." Not once, not twice, but three times. I mean, do we need to be reminded of the passage where Jesus said, "If you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before the Father"? I mean, what was one of the great sins of Abraham and Sarah? It was that he refused to acknowledge that she was his wife. Rather, he referred to her as a sister so that he would get some kind of special treatment or would not be harmed in some way. You see, folks, it's so important that we that we acknowledge God. But here's the thing, folks. You don't acknowledge your allegiance to someone when you're with people that understand who you are and what your life is all about. You acknowledge someone out there in the tough times of life. Like the young lady in Columbine some years ago, they said that she was actually asked if she was a believer. And she said, absolutely, I'm a believer. And they took her life when she said that. I mean, think about how much more difficult it is to acknowledge God before those that don't even believe in Him. David understood that it was a great place of blessing when you acknowledge Him and when your transgressions are forgiven, when your sin is covered, when God does not hold your sin against you, and when you have a spirit that has no deceit in it. But David also understands that the times when he kept silent, that it affected him, his bones wasted away, though groaning all day long. Day and night, his hand was heavy on me, David said. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the moment. Think about this for a moment, folks. Just examine your life and where you are. Are you having a tough time? Is life particularly difficult at this moment in time? Is it tough to get up in the morning and go to work? Is it tough to close your eyes and get a good night's sleep? Think about your life and where it's at right now, and then wonder, maybe just wonder whether or not some of your lack of strength is this very issue in your life. That you're not acknowledging God each and every day. When you live and when you go to work. Not too long ago, I walked into the hospital room of a young man. It was 32 years old, and I wasn't sure why he was there, but I walked in and I introduced myself to him as a pastor. I was there. I would like to pray with him if that was okay. And as he sat there in bed, he looked at me and he said, you know, I don't believe any of that stuff. I said, really, why don't you believe? And he shared a little bit, and I shared a little bit back with him. And then when it was time for me to go, I simply said, you know what, sir? I know you've said that you don't believe this, but I want you to know that I believe it with all of my heart. And because I believe it with all of my heart, and even though you don't, may I pray for you? And he said, yes. And I prayed according to my faith and not his. And when I left that room, I actually passed it along to a couple other pastors that were going to be visiting folks in the hospital there. And I gave him his room number and his name. And I said, make sure that you go in there and just tell him that you believe with all your heart that God in a relationship with him can make a difference. Now, I wish that I could end that story by telling you that this young man called me back and said that he now believes and he wanted. No, none of that happened. But you know what, folks? It felt good to acknowledge God during the dark times of life. It felt incredible to say that I believe in God in the presence of someone who didn't. And what David is saying to us here is that you will understand when you acknowledge God that your sins are forgiven, that your sins are covered, that it's not counted against you, that you have your spirit within Him. And what you have to do is you have to contrast that and how you feel with that time of acknowledgement. And then those times when you don't, when you feel like you're wasting away, you're groaning all day long, life is heavy, and your strength is sapped. And I'm convinced that in the last part of verse number 14, it hints at something here. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, as in the heat of summer. What that means is all of us that have complained about the heat of summer, we need to take a long, hard look at this, right? Right? Am I the only one? You know, oh my goodness, it is so cold today. I can't, it's just down to my bones. And the second day it's above 90, I'm like complaining about the heat. Just complain, complain, complain. But David said in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you. He even explains exactly what this means. Let me see if I can. Maybe that'll do it. I think sometimes this gets a little bit loose when I put it on. Verse number 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. He even explains what it means to acknowledge our sin to God. Look at verse 5. He says, I do not cover it up. I do not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. John says in his epistle that if we're faithful and just to confess our sins to God, that he will forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You see, sometimes we think to acknowledge God means so much more than it really means. To acknowledge God, it doesn't mean that you have to understand every Bible doctrine that there is. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, bring to memory, you know, so much of the word. Acknowledging God simply means that you understand within yourself that I will not cover up my iniquity. One of the most beautiful things about David's life is how he laid his life bare before God. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive the guilt of my sin. Look at verse 6. He continues on, therefore, let all the faithful pray to you. A life that acknowledges God is also a life of prayer. A life that is seeking God each and every day. Verse 7, a life that acknowledges God is that we find our hiding place in Him. That He will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, and all who are upright in heart. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Here's one more thought about acknowledging. Is your life in such a way obedient to God that you are controlled as a loving animal rather than a bridled horse? Because God loves us so much. You know, think about this. Think about your beloved pet, if you have one. And if that beloved pet messes your carpet up in the floor, how do you treat him? You say, oh, buddy, come on, you got to go outside. You take him outside and you clean up the mess, and then you go about and you try to, you know, teach them, talk to them, you know, you treat them like they're part of the family. But think about this. Think about if they would mess up your carpet like clockwork once an hour, every hour of every day. There would come a time when we would take that animal, regardless of how beloved it is, and we would take it out into the woods and we would set it free. Free at last, free at last. Go and live your life, right? You can only take so much of that animal messing up your life, messing up your house. But think about God. And think about His forgiveness that never ends, that never wanes. When we come and ask forgiveness for the same thing that we asked for forgiveness yesterday, and we'll be back tomorrow to ask forgiveness again, God never treats us like an unruly animal. He always loves us and forgives us and cleans up our messes and forgives us of all, you know, not accidents, but of willful sin. He doesn't do that. He always comes back to forgive us of our sins. But look at what it says here. He says in verse number 9, "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit or a bridle." You see, sometimes our guilt, and sometimes of our shame, is like a bit or a bridle. I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe I'm still struggling with that. But you see, God doesn't want us to be the kind of servant who obeys the master because of a bit or a bridle. But he wants us to be that kind of animal that just lovingly obeys. You know, many of you have offered your condolences to Arlene and I. We lost our puppy of 14 years this past week, Wilson. And it used to be that I would take Wilson places and he would jump down out of my truck and people would right away say, you got a leash. I said, he doesn't need a leash. He'll stay right here by me. And even if hey, Wilson, come back over here, buddy. The master and the servant, the friend. You see, God doesn't want to continue to chase us when we're going off like an unruly puppy that's just leaving the yard and going off and sinning and eating who knows what and all this kind of stuff. He wants us to be right there beside of Him. And when we are right there beside of Him, what are we doing? We are acknowledging Him. And when we acknowledge Him, we are free of our sin. And when we don't acknowledge Him, we're a long ways from Him. But if we do acknowledge Him, what do? We pray. We understand that He's our hiding place. He's our protection. He surrounds us with singing. Therefore, we don't need a bit or a bridle to be obedient servants of our master. We serve Him because we love Him. And we take advantage of every moment of every day to acknowledge that He's our Savior, He's our friend. And it's interesting because this passage uses this word therefore in verse number 6. Therefore, let us all. In other words, these are all the consequences of a life that acknowledges Him. Do you acknowledge Him? That's really all that it takes to be born again, is to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's all do that as we bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, dear Lord, I just ask this morning that You would God, help us to be in the spirit of contemplation as we read this Maskil of David, this psalm, Lord, of contemplation and introspection, understanding, Lord, and acknowledging our own sin and our need for You. And God, I just pray right now that as we pause and sing and share in this wonderful song together, that, Lord, even the words of this song would be a way of us acknowledging You in this moment. Father, may it be so. And if there's those here, Lord, that have never acknowledged You as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they would do that right now in the quietness of this moment, right where they're sitting, right where they're standing. Father, may they give themselves totally, completely to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.